So we are in Mishlei Perek Hey. Last week we had finished Perek Dalet, we started Perek Hey, and we did the first couple of psukim of Perek Hey. But let me this section of Perek Hey. And this starts from Pasuk Zion, if you're following me inside, and it starts with an apostrophe, and a direct address to Bani, which is different from most of Mishnah. Mostly it's Shema Bani, the singular. This is the plural. And this alludes back to the one time it happened before in the beginning of Perek Dalet we talked about last week, where the plural was figurative to was not meant to be a metaphor for, okay, I'm talking to a child, but figurative, meaning Shlomo is talking directly to Bnei Israel. That you are Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. You are the children of God. That's what you're listening. And this section, and these sections are meant to be autobiographical. I mean, they're talking about the life of Shlomo. Right? This is what's happened to me. Don't make me the mistakes I've made. But he starts out, Shimuli. Now my children, or now children, not my children, right? Remember, God's children, listen to me. Emrefi, and do not veer from what by the words of my mouth. Keep your path far from her, and don't go near the door of her home. And the her here, as we talked about last parak, was the Isha Zara,
Yeah.
is the strange woman, the Chachma of like, can I learn things from non-Jews? That's what consistently what the metaphor of the Isha Zara is. The other stuff out there, going to college. And we talked last time that he talks about it being that she wields a double-edged sword. Yes, it is a double-edged sword. There are things to learn. We want to learn from it, but it's very dangerous as well. So how do we learn without being seduced away from Torah? How can I go to university? And then actually Rav Maris quotes Rav Wasserman in the 1920s, who says that by the time you get to the 1920s, it's not a solvable problem. And this is, again, this is a letter from some point in the teens and 20, 19 teens and 20s. Until now, we have asked rabbinical students to go to university. Instead, we should request they do not go to university. Anyone who increases the Torah and the fear of heaven is praiseworthy, not however increase in philosophy. And so too, the education of the children. They should not be asked to go into a profession that requires reading anti-Torah literature. About this is written, distance your way from her and don't get close to the entrance of her house. That's our pasuk here. They should not be expected to go into profession through means that are allowed and not those that are forbidden. You see, in the 20s, it's too dangerous. You can't go to college. But here, Shlomo actually gives us a potential solution to that when he says, Al tikrava petach beita, don't go too close. Don't go too close to her home. So he's kind of extending the metaphor. You can talk to the strange woman, but don't go home with her. It's only so far you can go. And Rabbi Shalom Carmi, who's at YU, the academic Bible department, he was the editor of Tradition, used that metaphor of the idea that there are houses here. There's the wisdom of Torah, which has its own house, and the wisdom of the nations as a separate house. And he's talking about, how do we study Tanakh? How do I use the insights of archaeology and literary theory without end up being an epicurus? Can I talk to academic Bible scholars? And those kind of insights, those other fields are important, and we lose something in our own Torah study if we ignore them. So the way he puts it is that we need to stay in our own house and then look into the other one. That's the title of his essay, is we need a room with a view, but a room of our own. Again, looking at this mashal here, of this metaphor. And he starts out, every facet of Torah is intimately related to the others. If we think of Torah as a mansion, each discipline within Torah can be compared to one of the rooms. Right? We go from one room to the next within Torah. And Torah Shebaal Peh is the central chamber in the house of Torah. It communicates with all the other rooms. Is not accidental that those Rishonim Achronim who most magnificently explored the Pshat were equally renowned as Talmudists, like Rashi and Rashba and Ramban, among the Rishonim and the Vilna and the Tzid, Meshech Chachma, W.T. Hoffman, to name but a few of their modern heirs. So yes, if you want to study Tanakh, you need to be able to go through all the other rooms in the Bayit of Torah. And he quotes Rav Kook about building this Palace of Torah. And this is Rav Kook, a letter, so probably contemporary with Rav Wasserman's letter there about don't go to college. And in general, there's an important rule in the struggle of ideas. We should not immediately refute any idea which comes to contradict anything in the Torah, but rather we should build the Palace of Torah above it. In doing so, we exalted by the Torah, and through this exaltation, the ideas are revealed. And thereafter, when we're not pressured by anything, we can confidently also struggle against it. We have things to learn, build our own house, and then kind of look at all the other ideas out there. Karmi concludes, I return to Rav Kook's fascinating image of the Palace of Torah that expropriates the challenge of ideas contradicting Torah. Our Derech HaLimud must be built example after example, brick on top of brick. We build the palace. We need a place where we can unpack our trunk, get our books out of storage, and back into our hands. We're really pushing the metaphor here. You're going to build this house here. Let's stop for a moment. We want a room with a view, since there is knowledge to be had that we want to have for our enhanced study of Torah. We cannot do our work. We cannot prepare to build the palace until we do it in a room of our own. And that's what he's saying here, right? Be careful of this Isha Zara. Don't go into her house. There may be things to be learned, and we talked about that. Appreciate Chachma wherever it is. As Rambam says, you have to be Makabel Emet. I can't remember the exact words there. Accept the truth from wherever it comes. But here Shlomo is telling us that he didn't do that. Right? He warns his audience, and we'll see that, that your toil is going to end up in a foreign house. Be careful. And so he continues, stay away from her house, lest you end up giving others your glory. And your years will be spent for it will be taken by the cruel one. Where strangers will be satisfied from your strength, and your toil, and let's look at that word atzavecha, right? From atzav meaning sad, in a foreign house. You're going to work, and it's going to end up somewhere else, not in this house of Torah. And you're going to moan in the end, as your flesh wastes away. You're going to say, how did I hate Musar so much? Tochachot nasli bi, and my heart rejected rebuke. Lo shamati b'kol mori, I didn't listen to my teachers. Lo hitati aznai, and I did not pay attention to my educators. Kimat hayiti b'kol ra b'toch kal ve'edah. I knew it was nearly taken up. I was in taken. I was swallowed up by every possible evil while I was still in the midst of my community. How can I have messed it up? And again, this we have to see how that relates to Shlomo himself. Say, don't be there. And the key there is this idea of atzavecha b'vei nachri. As Malbim says about that, atzavecha means hamoncha nechasecha, your property, the things you have, shegita ba'etz avon, that you toiled for, that you worked for. Mashketuv as the curse of Adam. Hashem tells him, "Itzavon, you are going to eat from now on, not from the fruits of the garden, but with work." Because etzev means sadness.
What is itzavon? Is that from sad also?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. What is the word itzavon here? He's using it here, they use it there. So it means sad in modern Hebrew. But in Tanakh has a subtly different connotation. It's going to end up being in Aviva Zornberg. So we see that in Parshat Noah. Actually, this is the end of Parshat Bereishit. And Lamech lives 282 years, and he has a son, Noah, and he calls his son Noah. This will be the Noah of the flood. And he says, "Zeinachamenu, this one will bring us comfort from our work, umi etzvon yadenu." That word, itzavon, which Archbold translates as toil. This one will bring a rest from our work and from the toil. It's a vanya day of the toil of our hands. And I'm Adamai She'ara Hashem, the earth that God cursed. And that's a reference to that pasuk we just quoted from the original curse of Adam, when Hashem tells Adam, Adam Amar, Kishamata b'kol ishtecha, since you listened to your wife, Atochel min ha'etz asher tziviticha le'emor lo tochal memenu, and you ate from this tree that I command you not to eat, Arua Adamah b'avrecha. The earth is now cursed because of you. B'tzavon tochlena, you are now going to eat of it, b'itzavon, with toil, or with sadness, kol yimecheyecha forever, b'kotz b'dardar tatzmiach lach, and it's just going to bring sprout thorns and thistles, and you'll be forced to eat the grass of the fields. What's interesting about this curse is that the same word is used in Chava's curse also. Same story, Belisha Amar, Arbe. The woman said, I'm going to increase your isavon, your toil, your work, your sadness, beheroncha, and your pregnancy, beetsev telibanim. You will bring forth children, be'etzev. Shabach, and you'll design your husband, he'll rule over you. And the mean and elsewhere, the word means form, to make something. Eve says to God, Yadecha itzvuni, your hands formed me, ve'asuni, and made me. And then in Tehillim, it's used for things made by people, idols. We see it in Halal, Atzabehem kesef zahav. The work of their hands is gold and silver, maaseh da'adam, work of people. So Aviva Zornberg says that these two sides of etzev, being of misery and a formation of making something, are really the same thing, part of the same thing. That the curses of itzavon, when I'm cursing Adam and cursing Chava, of tsar gidul banim, raising children, kotz the dardar tatzmiach lach, that you're going to plant and all that's going to come up are thorns. Our curse is that despite all the toil, you're working hard, results are out of your hands, you get nothing out of what you did. That's the way she puts it. Now, Eve is initiated into a world in which this creative will, I want to do something, I want to make something, meets inevitable frustration. I think that's the translation of etzev, it's frustration. It's working hard and getting nothing out of it. Parents raise children as a projection of their own desires, only to discover that children develop desires of their own. Right? If you have kids, you know that. That's the itzavon of raising children. That you try to make them, and they just go off their own way. And here, the planting may come bear very little, real little resemblance to the yield. Same thing. Adam may plant, but it's going to get something else coming out of that. In both love and work, then, itzavon is the strength fruit of intentionality, of sowing seed to an imagined future. But where it doesn't come out, it doesn't work. That's what itzavon is. You have plans and they fail. And you work hard and they fail. That's the sense of itzavon. For Adam, simud das continuity will halt his relationship with the earth. The gap, the arbitrary response of the earth to his desire, expresses a radical irrationality in human experience. Creative aspiration acquires an ironic edge. So itzavon is not so much sadness, but it's the misery of toil. All your efforts, your hard work comes to nothing. And so Hashem says the same thing. So I'm going to correct this over here. When his creation fails him, he's going to destroy the world. Hashem ki rab ha'aretz, excuse me. And Hashem saw that man's evil increased in the land, because yesir machshavot libo rak rak al yom, and everything they wanted to do was bad. Vayinacham Hashem ki yasa t'adam ba'aretz, and God regretted making man. Vayitatzev el libo. He had that sense of frustration of Yitzhak. So here, our pasuk says that you better be careful. Don't be seduced into the house of the strange woman. Pen itzavecha b'beit nachri. Otherwise, all your work will be frustrated, and everything you do is going to end up in a foreign house. It's not going to be back in Torah where it belongs. You're going to work hard and get nowhere. Others reap the benefit. And now I'm claiming that this is autobiographical. Like this section here, when he starts it with Banim, It's talking about, this is what happened to me. Shlomo is saying, don't let this happen to you. And
Where is he in his life when he's working through all this?
I'm assuming this is at sort of toward the end of life when he's got, sort of summing up his life lessons that he's learned. I'm
Okay.
going to assume that. Because we have a story here that's not in Tanakh. It's a very odd Agada. It's brought in a number of places. I'm going to kind of look at Shlomo through this eyes of the Agada, and I think we're just going to have to kind of read through the Agada to talk about what it means next time. Because remember, Agada we take seriously, but not literally. But we're going to go to so Shlomo building the Beit HaMikdash. That's his big job. And as he's building, this is from, I say, from Achim, Babayit, the people of Tot, and the house of God, as it was being built, Evin Shleimah, Masat Nivneh, it was made out of whole stones, Makabot for Garzen, and hammers and saws, Kol Kli Barzel, all iron tools, Lo Nishma Babayit, Behibanato. That was not heard in the house as it's being built. It's not cutting it with iron tools. We know that. And we'll also have to look at Shlomo describing his wealth in Kohelet. He talks about how much I have, and it wouldn't make me happy because I'm still going to die. And he says, "Kanasti li gam kesef zahav. I amassed gold, silver, and gold, usgulat malachim vamedinot, and all the treasure of kings and kingdoms. Asiti li sharim v'sharot. I made." And this always annoys me when people get this wrong. It's not sarim, which is more common. It's sharim v'sharot, singers. I hired singers, male and female. He didn't worry about Kol Yishah. I butanagot b'nei Adam and all the pleasures that people can have. Shidah b'shidot. I had shidah b'shidot. And nobody knows what that means.
What's
That's a
that?
good question. Nobody really knows what that means. Let's see how JPS translates it here. That's interesting. He translates it as she does show you to translate it as very many. But
To argue with that.
she does show J usually is translated as treasure chests. APS uses the term coffers, a storage for money. With the shidah v'shidot, the singular plural is sort of a merism, as covering all possible things, meaning all possible kinds. Lots of shidah v'shidot. The Gemara says now shidah v'shidot refers to shedim, demons. And this is where the Gemara goes, says it in Gemara Gittin. So, sharim v'sharot, elu mine zemer. Sharim v'sharot talking about song, all kinds of song. That's what I had. And all the pleasures of people, that's spas, bathhouses, and shidah v'shidot, and this word shidah, these words, shidah v'shidot, shidah and she does. Here in Babel, we translate it as shidah v'shidotin, demons and more demons, invisible, spooky things. Not clear what a demon, how we interpret Shadim. Let's read it. As it says, that the house was built out of whole stones, never cut with an iron tool. So Shlomo asks the rabbis, he's going to build this Beit Mikdash. He asks the Chachamim, Hechi Aved, how can I do that? How do I cut these stones? Amrulai, so they said to him, Ika Shamira, the Aiti Moshe Avnei Ephod. There's a thing called the Shamir. Some people call it it's a worm, it's a bug, it's an herb, it's a kind of tool, it's a hard metal, something that can cut stone, that Moshe used to cut the stones of the Ephod. That exists. You can cut it, it won't be cutting it with iron, cutting it with the Shamir. So he's got to find the shamir to make the Beit HaMikdash. So iti shidah v'shidatin. So he gathered together all these shadim, these demons, go search for it. Havshinhu adadaihu, and literally pressure them together. Amri, but they said, Anan lo yadanin. Yadanin. Shadim said, we don't know. No idea where to find the Shamir. Dilma Ashmadai Malka de Shadi Yada. Maybe Ashmadai. Asmodeus in English. The king of the Shadim knows. This is getting very strange here. So he's going to go find Ashmadai, the king of the demons. And he finds him and imprisons him. And Yami, and after 3 days, Ashmadai comes before him, before Shlomo. Shakal Kyanya, Ashmadai takes a reed, a measuring stick, Umashach Arba Garmidi, and stretches it until it's 4 amot long. Mishadai Kamei throws it before Shlomo. Amarle, and Ashmadai says to him, Mithaki Maitahu Gavra. When a man dies, Litle Bahadin Alma Ella Arba Gamidi. All he has in this world are those 4 amot. That little plot of land where you're buried, that's all you get. Hashta, Kavashte Lukuli Alma, and you conquered the entire world. Losavat ad Kavash Nam Lididi. You were not satisfied until you conquered me also. What are you bringing me? What do you mean bringing me here for? Shlomo, you have all the money in the world. Shlomo says to him, I don't want anything from you. I want to build the Beit HaMikdash, become a Vayleh Shemira, and I need this Shamir. And so Ashmadai tells him how to get the Shamir, and they have more adventures, which we won't get into. But Tarachegabe ad the Beit HaMikdash. And so Ashmadai stays with Shlomo until he finishes building the Beit HaMikdash. He gets the Shamir, he can cut his stones, Beit HaMikdash is built. Yom Achad, one day, Havakaya Luchude, they were together alone. Amarle, Shlomo says to this demon, the pasuk says, "Kelmosim like God took him out of Egypt, like the soaring aurochs, the wild bull. And I'm reading, we say on that pasuk that ketoafot, the soaring elu malchay asharet, that's the angels. Re'em, like the bull, elu ashedim, that's the demons, the shedim. And I'm looking at that pasuk. Shlomo says, Tashmadai, and asks, "Ma'aravu taychu minan? What's so special about you? Why is God comparing this power to the Shadim? What is the source of your power?" And that's a mistake. Don't ever ask. Demons are very smooth talkers. So Amarle, Ashmadai says to Shlomo, "Shakul shulishta minai, take the chains off of me, bahavli iz katach, and give me your signet ring." Your seal. And I'll tell you my power. And you're yelling at him, don't do it. But he does it. So Shlomo says, okay, I really want to know the source of your power. So he takes off his chains, gives him the signet ring. And then what happens? Bala Eish, Ashmadai swallows the ring. Stretches out his wings, one wing into the sky, and the other wing down to the ground, and pakte arba mea parsi, and threw Shlomo 400 amot, rather 400 parsim. Paras is about 4 kilometers, and midrashically, arba mea parsi is the size, is the width of Eretz Yisrael. It takes Shlomo and throws him out of Eretz Yisrael. After Shlomo releases him because he wants to know his power. It's on this moment, Amar Shlomo, that Shlomo meant when he said in Kohelet, what value is there for all the work that a person does under the sun? That's Itzavon. Right? He's worked so hard, built the Beit HaMikdash, and now he's been thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. He has nothing. He started out saying, Lokabamina Minachmide, he says to Ashmadai, I don't want anything from you, but eventually he wants to know, Maravutaychu Mina. What's the source of your power? And that's his downfall. He's gotten taken, asking for too much from Ashmadai. So Ashmedai takes his place in the throne. He's got the signet ring, he's got the power, and Shlomo has nothing. He's another version of the same Agadata. This is from Targum Kohelet. Shlomo
Yeah,
Malka.
they didn't tell them all this is from Agadata, this
This is right.
whole
This is the Gemara. I mean, it's a Gadata, by definition, it's a Gadata, meaning it is, it's a story in the Gemara. It's not halacha.
But is it like rabbinic literature, or is it
It
actually?
is. This is the Gemara. This is in the Talmud.
But that doesn't mean it's absolutely happened, does it?
I will always say that a Gadata needs to be taken seriously, but not literally. We'll just
Okay.
think about how we understand this. Okay, but all we're going to do right now is read the words.
Okay.
Right? Shlomo wants to build the Beit HaMikdash. He gets a demon there. Eventually, the demon takes his throne from him. Because Shlomo asks too much. That's where we're
Does
going.
Shlomo lose his throne ultimately?
We'll see. He's going to come back.
Okay.
Okay, it's going to come back. Come back. But it makes an impression. Okay? And here's another version of the same. This is the Targum on Kohelet, similar story. This is the same Agadah, different words. When Shlomo Malka, when Shlomo the king, Yativ al Kurusei Malchute, was on his throne. He became very arrogant from all of his wealth, and violated the commandments of God. And amassed horses and chariots and cavalry, Sagi, and lots of them, right? Where the Torah says, don't have too many horses. Someone says, I don't have to worry about that. Let's have our kaspa b'dahava l'chada, and had immense amounts of silver and gold, which the Torah says don't. Bet chatan ba'amimin nochri'in, and married to many wives from foreign nations. Again, the Torah says not, right? Getting a hint here at what Shlomo is doing, right? His arrogance, he's got the gold and the silver, he's marrying foreign wives. Minyad, immediately. Takif rugzadasha Alohi. Hashem got angry with him, v'shadar levatei Ashmedai Malka d'Shedi, and sent Ashmedai, the king of the demons, to him. V'tarad yatei min kursei malchute, and Ashmedai threw him off of his throne, natal gush pen kai min yadei, and took his signet ring, his seal, his royal authority from his hand. Begin so that the Hech Metaltel, so that Shlomo would wander, Begali, Ba'alma, and be exiled in the world. I can't pronounce it Aramaic. La'achichute, to rebuke the world, to tell the world a lesson. Israel, and he would go between the villages and the cities of Israel, crying, Bagan, weak, Ba'aman. He would say, Ana Kohelet. And they say that's the introduction to the Sefer Kohelet. I am Kohelet, the one who gathered the people together. That was Shmei Shlomo, that my name is Shlomo, Mitkarei in Kadamat Dana, that I was called Shlomo, and that I Aviti Malka al Yisrael B'Shlem. I was the king. So Kohelet starts out saying, I need Kohelet, Aiti Melach B'Yerushalayim, and he's saying, I was. They're reading this as, this is when he's no longer king. He's lost his malchut. He's wandering around, and there's a fake king on the throne. That's Ashmedai. Another version of the same Agadita from Kohelet Rabbah. Excuse me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem tells to looks at Shlomo and says, "Simcha ma'azor asa. What's the point of all this joy? Ma'atara zu asa b'yadcha. What is your crown doing in your hand? What are you doing with it? You're getting everything wrong. Red mikisai, get off your throne. What does Shah Yarad Malach Shlomo? At that moment, an angel, or I guess translate Malach as a messenger of God, came down in the image of Shlomo, sat in Shlomo's throne. It's a fake Shlomo on that throne now. And Shlomo was then wandering, going around from shul to shul, to people's houses, and it would say, and again, it's a quote from Kohelet, Ani Kohelet, Hayiti Melech, Yisrael B'Yerushalayim. I am Kohelet, I was the king, I used to be the king. Fantastic. I've lost it. I am Makino Koba Kane, and everyone would whack him with a stick to get him out there, but not only in front of Karish, like we've seen, and give him a little plate of beans to eat. And Botosha Bachar at that moment, he cried, but Marni said, this is what I get for all my work. That's like, well, it's so negative. I've worked so hard and now I have nothing.
Danny, there's nothing new under the sun.
Nothing. Yeah.
Because this is all about the AI, that this person was put on in his image on the throne. It wasn't him.
Okay, is that, I don't know, that I don't know the reference.
No, that's what's going on with all the images, that people can take your
Oh, you
image
can fake it, right? So that's what
and
he
do
has. That's
whatever they want with it. It's
again,
not.
let's think about what it means, right? That Shlomo has this, brings in this demon into his house and ends up being replaced by it. But eventually, Chachamim figure out that it's not Shlomo. It's an imposter. How do they figure it out? Because he's not acting like Shlomo. He's not learning. He's not focused on wisdom. He's spending all his time with his many wives. And saying, that's not Shlomo, right? So, Amru le is back in the Gemara. They asked Benayu ben Yehoyada, who is the Rosh head of Sanhedrin. They asked, Kabay lach malka legabe, have you seen the king? Has he ever come to you? Amar lehulo. He tells him, no, never comes to me. Shachu lehulo malchuta malchavata. So they asked the queens, all the royal wives, Ati malka legabayahu, does the king come to you? And shachule, and they say, in, yeah, all the time. He's always here. Katavailu, even when we're Nida, he still wants us. He's spending all the time with the women. So they look at the Gemara there. They bring Shlomo back. They find Shlomo. They bring him back to his throne, but he's just a shadow of his former self. He's back to being the king. But he doesn't have the power they had before. And this is Midrash Bimid Barabbah. Kevin Shabana Beit HaMikdash, after he built the Beit HaMikdash, and all these things that happen with Ashmadai, if he finishes it, Kevin Shachata, Tardo Ashmadai, and as because he sinned, Ashmadai pushed him off. And after he came back, he remained afraid. And the way they put it in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Amar Reish Lakish, Tchila Malach Shlomo Al Yonim. Originally, Shlomo was king over the celestial beings. He could control these Shadim, control Malachim. It said, Shlomo Kisei Hashem. He was on the throne, literally the throne of God. Vasof, Malach HaTachtonim. And in the end, he just was king over a very small terrestrial kingdom. As it says, Ki hu rodeh v'chol eivra nahar. He ruled over the other side of the river, Mitifsach Vad Aza. Tisach in Syria, Ta'aza in Gaza, and that's what his kingdom was. Kind of shrunk down. He didn't have the power he did before. So that's all really weird. We have to take a seriously, not literally. Okay? So looking at the story, right? Shlomo wants to build the Beit Hamikdash. He needs help. He invites demons to help him, who eventually take over. And basically, Shlomo isn't himself, right? He's not the Chachami Kol Adam, but he's just spending all his time with these foreign wives. And so, taking this, looking with the context of the story, that these foreign wives are what seduce Shlomo away from Avodat Hashem. And not necessarily that we read this as Shlomo, his place was taken over by a demon, but he was possessed by this demon. He now is acting very differently. After he's gone to all these foreign women, we kind of mix the metaphor now with about this foreign chachma as well. That's what we're getting back to Sefer Mishlei. And we know the story with his wives. Shlomo loved many foreign wives, including Bat Paro. That was the first wife that he married. Right after he becomes king, he marries Bat Paro, and it's kind of all downhill from there. Moabiot, Ammoniot, Adumiot, Chittiot, right? From Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, Phet. those nations specifically that Hashem had told Israel, "Lo tavo b'hem." You can't intermarry with them. Moab and Ammon, you cannot intermarry with. And then because they are going to seduce your heart after their gods, and those are the ones that are. And he had 700 maiden wives and 300 concubines. And his heart was twisted from all these wives. And as he got older, they pulled his heart away after other gods. And he was not as wholehearted with God as David was. And Shlomo got involved with Ashtoreth, the king of the god of Sidon, and after Milcom was the false god of Ammon, Shlomo did the wrong thing and was not as wholehearted with God as David, his father. We know that. Again, this problem starts right at the beginning when he marries Bat Paro. He invites the foreign wife into his home, and he also builds her own home. And that's what's striking, that he's building the Beit HaMikdash at the same time and the same materials. It's part of the same project as building the home for Bat Paro. Which, if looking at the metaphor of Mishlei, that's immediately causing trouble, right? He's actually building the house of the Eitzah Zara when he should be building the Beit of Torah. And this is Sefer Melachim. Shlomo built the house, this is the Beit HaMikdash, and finished it. And his own palace that he built was built in such a way, and I'll describe in great detail. And he planned building a palace for Bat Paro also. That the wife that he had taken, Bat Paro, Fulam Hazet, just like this whole, just like the Beit HaMikdash. Esrim Shana. This space isn't here. Esrim Shana, Shebana Shlomo, Batim. And it was at the end of the 20 years that Shlomo finished building both of these, Shnei Batim, both of these palaces, Beit Hashem, Beit HaMelech. Both at the same time.
Danny, I want to ask you something because it sounds like from the text that David was with him, but really he became king when he was pretty young, and David didn't have that much to do with him, so he didn't like have a role model.
That's true. That's
But
true, right? He was 12,
spent
12,
time
became king.
learning.
So that's tough, right? He's 12 and becomes king, gets this awesome power. And now we know the story that he's got enough political savvy to kill all of his enemies pretty early on. And we talked a little bit about how this Gemara sees Shimon ben Gera as one of his teachers. And as soon as he basically has Shimon ben Gera killed, then he goes and marries Bat Paro right away. So he loses that teaching. He loses some of that sense there.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's pretty traumatic for him.
I could see that.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking,
Yeah, but the world's the sort of place that.
Because when he becomes king, who's the prophet that guides him?
That is a good question, but that's not clear at all.
Because in David, you're like very aware of who the Navi is,
Yes.
The Navi's speaking back and forth to him at different times.
Right. So we don't have that, which is very interesting. Sorry. That's failed. I think you're right. I mean, someone doesn't have a Achiah Shilani is the one who takes the is the Navi who basically takes the kingdom away from him. But that doesn't.
By then, it's too late.
Yes. And I can argue that's a problem that he's got he's got this dream from God. He gets all this chachma there, but that kind of is it. So again, he's looking at this here, and and I think here we have this Agatz is basically saying that he's looking for this demon to build the Beit HaMikdash. That is a symbol of this foreign wisdom. I just like the Isha Zara, it's a symbol of foreign wisdom. They know of the wisdom of the nations, and he's built this Bayit, right? Bayit is the symbol of the, like the term Weltanschauung, world outlook, that holds it together. Okay? So Ashmedai is the one that's tempting him into that foreign wisdom, right? It's the one that spends all, that's getting him to spend all of his time with his foreign wives. And Shulman needs that to build the Bayit for Hashem. But it ends up being just too enticed. And originally, Shlomo has the right intentions, right? He doesn't want anything from Hashemadai, just I need this one little tool. Eventually, he wants everything. What do you have? And Jewish Encyclopedia adds that Hashemadai is in the Zohar. We can look this up, is a teacher of Shlomo. Right? Learns magic, learns medicine from him, learns everything from him. And because in reality, he doesn't. Shlomo needs this foreign know-how to build a Beit Mikdash. He can't do this on his own. That's what it's described in Sefer Melachim, right? Shlomo sends for Hiram, who is the king of Tsur, excuse me, the Phoenicians, who had all this, who had the great trading empire, had the stone cutting, wood cutting technology, and he tells them, "Hini omer by Beit Hashem Hashem Elokai. I want to build this house for my God." Just like David told Hashem told David, my father, that your son will be on your throne. Who you've never by he will build this house. And now I want you, Hiram, bring the command, Azim, and you cut the cedars, Milabanan from Lebanon, and my servants will work with your servants. And I'll pay them tomorrow, whatever you want, whatever you say. Because ki ain banu ish yodel you know that there's none among us who knows how to carve wood like the tzidonim. I need you to help me build this. And the Tzur Amar, which is a kind of a Kabbalistic commentary on the Torah, says on this, "L'chein katuv v'zohar," and when it says "V'Hashem natan chochmah l'shmolo l'molok asher diber lo," that the pasuk says that Hashem gave chachma wisdom, and "V'hi shalom ben Chiram ben Shlomo v'yichtu b'rishnehem," and there was a peace between Chiram, king of Sidon, and Shlomo. Which is why Shlomo could ask him to build it. My name is Elazar. What is one of these? What does the one have to do there? What's Shlomo's wisdom have to do with Hiram? Aval Amru Sham says in the Zohar, "Ki Hiram haya chacham gadol. Hiram also had lots of wisdom. Now we got this connected with the Shadim. And when he comes to the king of the Shadim, he's talking about Hiram. He's got to bring Hiram in, build the Beit Midash, and ideally then let him go. But Shlomo doesn't do that. And that Hashem gave wisdom to Shlomo so there could be peace between the two of them and Shlomo could learn what he needed without being seduced by it. He fails. And Rav Kook puts this image together. Like, how do we build this palace of, build this Beit HaMikdash to Hashem with the foreign ability, but not keep part of it? How do we keep our own room? While having a room with a view, as Shlomo Carver puts it. Excuse me. What do we learn from all of this? We learn here how we should behave. Shalakodeshvachol. When we have to look at asking questions about the distinction between the holy and the profane. How do we deal with the whole? And he's talking about the Chachma. This is a from the Mamre Haraya from Rav Kook. The way the world usually works. Adam, that a person says at first glance, that Kadosh, secular knowledge, are always in conflict. There are things that are opposed to one another. The truth is, really, there's no competition. When we need to literally symbolize, when we need to give form to life, we need to make things happen. We need to give a form, a shape to things that we do. And we say, just like we are not insulted, that just like Shlomo, get back to our story, when he wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash, he sent to Hiram, king of the Phoenicians, he asked them to help with carving the wood. And he says, and you know that there's no one like among us who are good as you at this. And he was not bothered. Do the so too we should not be insulted. We should not be insulted, not be hesitant to use these kochot chutz, the chol, to form our kadosh life. As Rav Kook is talking about, how do we build Eretz Yisrael? It's not only beholding. We're going to need engineers and factories and all of that. Sidonim kartu etzim, cut the trees, gam gerim, shiva, and they had others, foreigners dressed in the stones. That's fine. But the essence of the Kiddush of Beit Midrash needs to be ours. We need to protect that. Keep it holy. And we will take our national spirit, natural life, from that eternal source that can last throughout all ages, not just generations, but forever. And this will remain our source. Keep the Beit HaMikdash holy and keep it Jewish, keep it Torah. We can use these other skills and talents there. And so that's, in the words of Mishlei, in Rav Karmi's metaphor, that's a problem is that Beit Yasel the Bat Paro Kulamazeh. He built the palace for Bat Paro along with the palace for Hashem. And so we're going to stop here, quoting, of course, Billy Joel, who pointed out that it's good information for a man who's made mistakes. So it's here, be careful of that. Al tikrav al petach beita. Don't go into her house. And yisvu lest all of your efforts go to nothing and end up in that, all of your efforts end up in that foreign house. And we'll stop here. We'll continue next week.
Thank you,
I'll probably take a break for you on the topic.
that sounds good.